All right, let's take our Bibles and go to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Again, I'm trying to be a practical help to you guys and just talk about some things that, again, you're going to face or things that we need to implement in our lives. And on Tuesday morning, who can tell me what we can we talk about? Who remembers what we talked about on Tuesday morning, the very first PCL? Anyone? Don't all jump at once, all right? You can look in your notes if you have notes. Yes, buddy? That's right. Yeah, the why and how of personal devotions. And then who can tell me what we talked about yesterday? Who remembers what we talked about yesterday? Yes. No, not specifically that. Oh, Lord. Mr. Samuel.
Kindness.
Can't you be kind? We talked about kindness, all right? And so this morning, I want to talk about something that every one of us is going to face. You probably, most likely, in fact, I would just say 100% you have already faced this, some to a greater degree than others. And you will continue to face this as you continue to grow. And if Jesus tarries and you stay in this world, this is something that you will continue to have to battle. And that is this idea of being afraid. Being afraid. Fear. Right? It's a very real thing. And I know maybe some of the young boys are like, nope, I've never been afraid. Well, if you're really honest with yourself, you know what... again, you have at some point, okay? And I'll tell you what, the older you go, you know, the older you go and grow, again, it's something that will continually present itself as a temptation to start worrying about things, to start being fearful of things. I'll be 38 this year, so I'm not that old. I'm 37. I'll be 38 here in a little bit, and so I haven't even hit 40 yet. And some of you are probably thinking, oh, Mr. Will, that's like so old. And, it's really not, but I'm not as old as others, but I've seen a few things, and I've experienced a few things, and I'll have to tell you what, even as a almost 38-year-old person, there are times, I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret, there are times I can be afraid. There are times that I get fearful. I start thinking about a certain situation, and it's just like, if I'm not conscious of Jesus Christ and of the promises of God, I can start allowing fear to take hold of my heart. And though I can put on a good face, and I can smile, and you know, I can go to church. Of course, I'm the preacher. I'm supposed to be preaching most of the time. In my heart, I know that I'm fearful about something. And so I want to help you guys be very, very practical. And let's read Psalm 56 and verse number 3. Psalm 56, verse 3. Very simple verse. All right, it's a verse I hope you guys have memorized. If you haven't memorized this, you should memorize this because it's just two little phrases. And so you can memorize it pretty quick, all right? Here's what it says, Psalm 56, 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Let's pause and ask for the Lord's help. Father, thank you for our morning PCL. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that even though we live in a often fearful world with things that are going on and things that happen in our personal lives, thank you, Lord, that you give us the resources we need to fight fear. And so help these young people at a young age to be able to have the tools they need the truths they need to meditate upon, Lord, to be able to fight fear when they start to feel afraid. And so fill me, use me, hide me behind the cross, think what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. That is the title for those of you that are taking notes. We're talking about fighting fear, okay? So who will raise your hand? And let's just be honest this morning, okay? It's a good thing. Sometimes, again, we don't like to admit things, but it's a good thing to talk about things, to be honest about things, all right? And we're not going to laugh at anybody else. If someone says they're afraid of broccoli, okay, we're not going to be like, oh, you're afraid of broccoli, all right? Hey, I was afraid of broccoli when I was a kid. I mean, you're supposed to eat something that looks like a tree? Like, whoa, that's crazy, all right? But tell me, I want you guys to tell me, what are some things that maybe you've been afraid of, all right? What are some things that you've been afraid of? Going to hell. Oh, that's a great thing. That's a great thing, going to hell. What have you been afraid of? Heights. Oh, you know what? I think people think that tall people automatically aren't afraid of heights, but I can get a little like, whoa, you know, I can get a little dizzy when I'm up real high and whatnot. So, yeah, heights is a good one.
My sister.
My sister. All right. Is your sister here or not? No. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, sisters can be a fearful thing. That's for sure. William, what is it, buddy? You're afraid of pigs. You're a farmer, but you're afraid of pigs. All right. All right. Very good. All right. Kidnappers. Yeah, we can be afraid of kidnappers. Spiders. Yes. You know, I do not like spiders. I'm not one of these guys that's like, oh, I'm not going to touch that. No, I'll kill a spider if I have to, right? But I don't really care for spiders, all right? What, buddy? Big storms. Yes. But I got an illustration here just a little bit about big storms because especially when you're small, man, that lightning starts and that thunder claps and it's just like, oh, man, what in the world? Okay, yes.
Heights.
Heights for you, yep.
Brother.
Your brother, yep.
Being alone,
that's a fear that people have sometimes, being alone.
The dog.
The dog, yeah, sometimes I go and I knock on doors, I invite people to church, and man, one of the first things you hear is that dog barking inside. It's like, I hope it's not a pit bull, right? Or a Doberman, or you know, something that looks vicious, right? Yeah, dogs, we can be afraid of dogs. I'm sorry. Oh, go ahead, yeah, Pink.
The coyotes in our woods.
The coyotes in your woods. Failure. We can be afraid to fail, right? We want to succeed. All right, just a couple more. Yep.
Snakes.
Yep. Say it again. To get up in front of people. Yeah, sometimes people don't like to get up and talk publicly.
Snakes, heights,
and dogs. There we go. All right. Put your hands down. Yep. And so, listen, we can be afraid of a lot of things. And as you guys continue to grow older, you know, some of you guys mentioned some pretty serious fears, like the fear of failure, the fear of going to hell. And not that the other fears aren't serious. Please don't misunderstand, because I don't really care for snakes. I don't really care for spiders, things like that. Okay. So, but as you continue to grow older, and as you experience more circumstances, like maybe you guys, if Jesus tarries, maybe you'll get a job one day. Maybe, you know, you'll move out of the house eventually. I know it's hard for you to understand right now, but maybe you'll move out of the house eventually and you'll have to pay your own bills. You guys don't have to worry about anything right now. Let me tell you, that's a blessing. Okay? You don't have to worry. Your mom and dad, they take care of everything, right? But again, if Jesus tarries and you grow up, you might be fearful, like, oh man, I got to pay my phone bill. I got to pay, if I'm living somewhere, I got to pay rent, you know. And so as you grow older, the fears, again, it's not like they're just going to go away. Okay? And so we need to know, how do we fight fear? Because, again, it's a very common temptation that we're tempted to be afraid, to worry about something. And so our verse tells us very clearly, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And so the answer to fear, young person, just like the answer in getting to heaven, just like the answer in overcoming any type of sin or in being strengthened through a trial, the answer is to look to Jesus. The answer is to look to God. The psalmist said, when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in God. All right? And of course, we know that a lot of the psalms were written by what king of Israel? What king of Israel wrote a lot of the psalms?
David.
All right? David. And David, what was David afraid of? What are some things in David's life that he might have been afraid of? Saul and his army. Saul was trying to kill him all the time, right? Remember, he cast the javelin at David twice. And so David is out in the wilderness, and he's running from Saul. Saul's trying to kill him, all right? What are some other things that David might be afraid of?
Goliath.
Oh, Goliath. Yeah, I bet there was. Now, David, again, last night we talked about David was confident in the Lord, but it's probably safe to say that maybe David felt just a little bit of fear as he maybe first sees Goliath, but God helped him overcome that. Yep. Afraid of God when he disobeyed? Sure. Yep, Pink.
When, since you're the king, you led the army, he was scared, would get nervous because of the enemies.
Sure, his enemies. All right, who else? Let me ask you this. Saul was trying to kill David for several years. Also, there was another person that was very close to David that was trying to overthrow his kingship. Anyone know who that was? You know who that was? Yep. Absalom, that's right. Who was Absalom? You just say it. David's son, right? And so there was a lot of times in David's life where David In fact, we read a lot of the Psalms that David says he's fearful. He's thinking about his enemies, right? And right here, David's phrase, "What time I am afraid," tells us that even King David faced fear. He had things that tried to take hold of his mind and take over his heart and that distracted him from God. And so what does David say? "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." So the answer was to look to God. All right, so let me give you three simple thoughts here about how we can fight fear. And of course, the overall thought is the answer is God, that we have to trust God and look to God. But what do we trust about God? All right, well, first of all, we trust God's presence. We trust God's presence. We trust the fact that God is always with us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 that God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. In Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is now the new leader of the children of Israel. Moses, the man of God, has died. He's passed off the scene. And when Moses died, they had not yet entered into the promised land. Remember the children of Israel? They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And they disobeyed God. They didn't believe God. And so they haven't yet entered across the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, the land of promise. And Joshua now is given the task of leading what some Bible scholars and commentators think close to 2 million people. That's a lot of people. 2 million people across the Jordan River into the promised land. And Joshua is feeling a little bit of nerves, a little bit of fear. How do I know that? Because God, over and over again in Joshua chapter 1, tells Joshua, "Don't be afraid. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage," right? And he says in Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. And what's the reason God gives? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Young person, listen, many times in the Bible, we see this connection, that we don't have to fear, we don't have to be afraid because of God's presence, because God is right there with us. We see it in Joshua 1, verse number 9. You see it in Psalm 23. David said in Psalm 23, a very familiar verse, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Who knows the next part? "For thou art with me." You see that connection? We don't have to be afraid because God is with us. We see the same connection in Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. Isaiah 41 verse 10. The Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And so again, I just want you to see there are several places in Scripture where God says, "Don't be afraid. Fear not." And the reason he gives is, "I'm with you. I'm with you." Now again, you guys are all growing up in church. That's a wonderful thing. And again, the danger, there is a danger in that. There can be a danger in that we hear things all the time. And we hear this, we hear the Bible stories, and we hear the truths all the time. And a lot of times they're in our heads, but we're not really daily living in that reality. We know it in our heads, but we kind of just forget about things. We don't focus on things, and we don't live in that reality. All right. And so, all of us this morning, all right, if I were to say, "Is God with us all the time?" You raise your hand and say, "Yes, God's with us all the time." But I want to ask you: are we conscious of that? Are we living in that reality? Do you think that if the Lord Jesus Christ in his physical body, now physically, someone tell me, raise your hand, tell me physically, where is Jesus at today? Where is Jesus physically at? I saw your hand first. In heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of God. That's what the Bible tells us. Physically, he is there. All right? But spiritually, he is with us today, and it's just as real as the physical. The only thing is we can't physically see it. But it's the reality is just the same. And so you and I have to learn to live in that spiritual reality, okay? But if Jesus physically walked down the path this morning, and as I'm preaching, he walks in here, he sits right in front of that chair right in front of Miss Emma there, and do you think that if we knew it was Jesus, and he sits down right there, do you think that maybe we'd sit up a little bit, and we'd be like, in awe, and just like, I think we would. It's hard to imagine what our response would be. You know, you guys wouldn't be looking at me anymore. You'd be like, look at that over there. Oh, this is unbelievable. This is amazing. Right? But young person, listen to me. Although he's not physically here, it's just as real. It's just as real. He is here this morning. He is here. And we have to learn to live in that presence. And so when you get afraid of something, maybe it's a bad storm. Maybe it's maybe you got to go to the dentist. You know, Mr. Will does not like the dentist. I'm going to tell you that right now. That is a fact about me. And I've had bad teeth experiences. My whole life had braces, and I've had root canals, I've had teeth pulled, and I just don't have the best teeth, all right? And I do not like the dentist. Like, I don't even like going for a cleaning. My wife loves going for a cleaning. I don't even like it. They put those instruments in your mouth, and they're just scraping on stuff, and I'm just like, get me out of here, right? Anybody else don't like the dentist like me? Thank you very much, right? Who likes to go to the dentist? Who like, oh, I don't want to see your hands. Please, put your hands down. I don't want to know, all right? I don't want to know that. But anyways, maybe you got to go to the dentist, maybe, put your hands down, maybe you got to go to the doctor, maybe you got to test at school, and you're like, oh man, I didn't study for this test, and you should study for the test, right? But maybe you didn't, it's like, I don't want to go take this test, and whatever it is, whatever bad situation you guys can think of, we need to learn to live in that reality that God's right there. He's right there with us. It's like he's got our hand, and he's walking with us into that bad situation. We have to learn to live in his presence. A saint of God many, many years ago, a saint of God called it, he wrote a little book and called it Practicing the Presence of God. We practice the presence of God. We're conscious that he's always right there. And that'll help us when we start to get afraid. I told you I was going to give you an illustration. When I was, what year was this? Maybe 2015, maybe 2016, something like that. So our two oldest children, we adopted our two oldest children. So my son that's here this week, running around with the op staff, we adopted him. And when he came to live with us, he was 2 years old. And this was shortly after he came to live with us. And so he was either two or maybe he had turned three. I don't quite remember, but he's either 2 or 3 years old. And one night, I live in the Midwest, and in the Midwest, you get storms here, but man, you can get some humdingers of a storm in the Midwest. And I remember one night, my wife and I were laying in bed, we're about to go to sleep, and all of a sudden, I hear those, you know, thunderclaps. Pretty soon, I see the lightning coming through the window. Pretty soon, the rain is pounding on the house, you know, so loud that you can't get to sleep, you know. It's just like, man, this storm's got to calm down a little bit. And sure enough, I was thinking, I thought, you know, he's probably gonna wake up. His room was across the hall. And sure enough, I'm laying there, thunder's crashing, what's lightning do? Striking, thank you, all right. I didn't know what lightning was doing for a second, all right. It's striking, and thunder's crashing. And sure enough, I begin to hear Dominic across the hall, just starting to kind of whimper, you know, starting to kind of cry a little bit. He's not fully awake. You guys know what I'm talking about. He's not fully awake, but he's awake enough to understand, like, something is going on. I don't like that. And so he's just kind of like, he's like half asleep, but he's kind of whimpering and crying. And so as a good husband, I lay there and I'm thinking to myself, is my wife going to get up and go? You guys will understand that when you get older, okay? Is my wife going to get up and go take care of this? And anyways, I ended up, you know, getting up and saying, all right, I'll go try to calm him down, right? And so here's what I do. I get out of bed. I walk across the hall. His room's right across the hall. And as soon as I open the door and step inside, you know what happened? He stopped. He'd been, again, we'd been in bed for a little bit while he's kind of crying and whimpering. As soon as I opened that door and stepped inside, it stopped. And he was just back asleep. Now, question, did the storm outside stop? No, it was still, lightning was still striking, and thunder was still crashing, right? And the rain was still pounding. The storm, the outside circumstances had not changed, right? What had changed was in his little mind, all right, he recognized when the door opened, he probably thought it was mom. That's probably why he stopped her right now. But no, he recognized, okay, either mom or dad are there, and so it's okay. you know, when children are young, and you guys are still kind of in that age, you're kind of maybe growing out of it a little bit, but when children are really young, they view mom and dad as invincible, right? It's like, as long as mom and dad are around, as long as mom and dad are there, nothing bad's going to happen, right? Children, oftentimes, when they're really young, again, whether it's a storm, whether it's a dog or whatever it is, right? Children will run to mom and dad. And as long as mom and dad are right there, they think nothing's going to happen. I'm safe. Now, are parents really invincible? No, we're not. But that is the mindset of a young child. And that's what my 2 or 3 year old son was showing me that night. That, man, the storm's still going. But as soon as he heard that door, as soon as he felt that presence in his own little mind, as soon as he felt that presence of mom or dad, he was fine, right? And so, young person, the same is true for us. Sometimes the outward circumstances of life, they don't change. In fact, they could get worse. There could be more opportunities for us to be fearful, to be afraid. But when we recognize God's presence, God's always with us, right? He's always with us. But when we recognize his presence, and when we live in that reality, knowing every single day, God's with me right now. He's with me as I'm going to this, as I'm going to that, as I got to go here. He's with me. That'll help us to fight fear, okay? So number one, we fight fear recognizing God's presence. Secondly, we fight it recognizing God's providence. God's providence. Who can tell me what the word providence means? What do I mean by that? You guys know what the word providence means? Yes, buddy? Power, okay, that's kind of his power in what though? What is he doing? All right, yes?
Providing,
again, that's part of it, right? But what's the main idea we're looking for here?
He's taking care of us and watching over us and he's there for us.
That's right, he's taking care of us, he's watching over us. All right, here's a good word for you to remember, all right? When we talk about God's providence, we're talking about God's control. You guys say that with me? God's control. Say it again. God's control. That's a good way to think of it, okay? And Lord willing, we're going to talk a little bit more about that even tonight in the message tonight, okay? And we're going to see a good example of that. But when we talk about God's providence, yes, God is providing for us and he's watching over us, but he's in control of our life. He's in control of the circumstances. And when you recognize that, when you recognize, listen, this may be a fearful situation that I'm in. I don't like it that my parents are sick. I don't like it that the people at school are making fun of me. I don't, but God is in control of my life. And when you recognize that God has put you where he wants you for that specific time, then that's a great way to fight off fear and say, no, God, he's present with me, but God is also the one in control of this circumstance, right? The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 23, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so God is the one who is directing our steps. And when you recognize that, again, that ought to be a great thing to put comfort in our hearts. When we realize that nothing can happen to us. Listen, young person, nothing can happen to us apart from, if I can put it this way, God signing the permission. Say, yep, that's okay. In fact, a great illustration of that is the book of Job. I mentioned Job the other night. Remember, Job had 10 children die all at one time. I can't even imagine that. That's terrible. I can't imagine one of my children passing away. All right? Some families have that experience. And that's a terribly, terribly sad thing. Job had 10, all of them at one time taken away from him. He has boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. He's blistering sores all over his body. He has, now I don't like to be too hard on his wife, okay, because his wife was going through some of the same things that he was. But his wife is not in the right frame of mind because she says, curse God and die. So he's not getting any support from his wife. He doesn't get any support from his friends because his friends all say, this is because of sin in your life, Job. And from God's own testimony, we know that wasn't the case, all right? Now, Job wasn't perfect. Job was a sinner just like the rest of us. But what he was going through was not because of some specific sin that he just wanted to confess to God, all right? And so Job is going through all these things. But you guys remember what happens before all this in Job chapter 1? And how the Lord's having a conversation with who? Who came to approach God? And they're talking back and forth. Satan, right? Satan comes, and they're talking. And God says, basically, just kind of paraphrasing, God says, all right, Satan, you can do what you want to Job. The first time he told him, well, don't touch him physically. That's when his children die. That's when his livelihood is, the cattle and things are stolen. They're taken away. And the second time, another conversation happens, and God says, okay, you can do what you want to, just don't kill him. That's when the boils come and all of that. But what's the point? The point is that God gave Satan the authority, the power to do that. God was ultimately in control. God said, God signed off on the things that Job was going through. And now you may be thinking this morning, well, Mr. Will, I don't want to go through bad things. You know what? Nobody does. I don't want to. Okay? There are things I don't want to deal with. But the fact of the matter is that if God is in control, God knows what's best. God knows what is going to bring the most glory to himself and be the greatest testimony to other people, the things that he brings into our life. Sometimes we look at something in our life and we think, I don't understand that. Why does my family have to deal with that? Why do I have to face that? Okay? Sometimes I liken it to, maybe this is a good way to put it for you guys to understand. I liken it to a puzzle. How many guys like to do puzzles? Anybody like to do puzzles? All right, my family and I like to do puzzles whenever we have some time. And if you take a piece of a puzzle and look at it, just the single piece, it's kind of confusing, right? It's like, if you, again, you're not looking at the picture, you're just looking at the piece. It's like there's some splotches of color there. Is that a cat? Is that a dog? Is that someone's foot? Is that, you know, what is that? I don't understand what that is. But apart from that piece, when you look at the whole picture, like, oh, that makes sense now. And without that piece, it's not going to be completed, right? And there's nothing worse than losing a puzzle piece and having this whole 500 or 1,000 piece puzzle, and there's one piece that's missing. All right? That's a pet peeve of mine. So don't lose your puzzle pieces. Okay? But anyways, without that piece, it's not completed. Sometimes the things in our lives, we only see the piece, right? What is that? I don't understand that. Why? You know, this doesn't make any sense. But if I can put it this way, so listen to me, I'm almost done, right? Listen to me. It's like God's the great puzzle builder. And he's building this puzzle of your life. And he knows exactly what he wants to build. He knows exactly the things that your family needs to go through, that you need to go through, that are going to give him the most glory, and where you're at be the best influence and testimony to those in your particular sphere of influence, right? The people that you know, your neighborhood, and your family, and people at church, and so on and so forth, right? God knows that. And so he's putting the pieces together, and although we can't understand, what are we supposed to do? What time I am afraid I will what? Trust in me. We trust God's providence. We trust the fact that he's in control. And when we trust the fact that he's in control, again, that'll help us. Instead of fear ruling in our hearts, it'll help us to have peace in our hearts, all right? And so there's God's presence, there's God's providence, and thirdly, how can we fight off fear? And some of you have already alluded to it, by understanding and trusting God's power. God's power. God's power to strengthen us through those hard times. His power to continue to help us to not quit, to not give up. When we face something difficult, when we're afraid of a situation, all right? We're almost done here. I got about 4 minutes. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Would you look at that? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, all right? If you have a Bible, turn with me. If not, just listen. But if you have a Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we see here God's power, God's grace, his strength in strengthening the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at what it says. We're almost done. Look at what it says in verse number 7, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. It says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me." That means to beat me, to defeat me, right? "Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Now, we don't know what is this thorn in the flesh. There's people that have given opinions. There's some things that we can surmise, we can guess kind of what this thorn in the flesh was. But the truth of the matter is, we don't specifically know. We can't be dogmatic about what this thorn in the flesh was. But we know this, that the great apostle Paul had something in his life that was difficult. To the point of, he went to God not once, not twice, but three times he goes to God and says, Lord, would you please take this away? Which I can't deal with this, God. Would you please take it away? And look at what God says in verse number 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So in other words, God's grace, God's power, God's strength that would continue to help the Apostle Paul. And young person, listen, there are things in our life that can be difficult, that they will be. Again, if Jesus tarries and you guys continue to grow up, you can just mark it down right now. You're going to face things in life that make you afraid and that you don't know what to do and that are just hard. And it's just like, and in that time, yes, you remember God's presence. You trust in God's presence. You trust in his providence that he's in control. And you trust in God's power that he will strengthen you through that situation, that he will help overcome that fear in your life, all right? And so we're all going to be afraid at times. And that's not something like, you're wrong, stop, you know, stop that. It's a natural thing. We're all going to be afraid. But we shouldn't live in that fear. When we live in it, when our life is dominated by it, that's when it becomes sin. That because then it's like we're handicapped. We can't do what God wants us to do or be what God wants us to be. All right? But if you remember God's presence, God's providence, and God's power, it'll help fight fear off, and we don't have to live there, okay? And so I hope that's a practical help to you guys, because again, fear can come at the most unexpected times. There have been times, just being transparent with you guys, there have been times I've been laying in bed, and all of a sudden, it's like I just feel this fear. And I'm thinking about this and that, and it's like, whoa! And I have to stop and be still and know that he's God, and that he's with me, and that he's in control, all right? And so hopefully that'll be a help to you guys. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time, and thank you for these young people. Lord, help us to not live in this state of worry and fear, but to learn to trust you, to remember your presence and your providence, Lord, your control and your power, God, your strength to... Lord, to help us keep going. And so bless these young people, Lord, and give us safety the rest of this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be at camp. And again, help us to honor you and all we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.